Welcome to Love, Dating, and Chaos with Felicity Reakin. So if you haven't guessed this by now, I have been single since literally the earth was cooling, okay? Possibly even before the Big Bang. But I have tried within these last millennia to possibly put myself out there. And I've done it in a way that has, you know, evolved over time. I don't think I'm like the world's best flirt. In fact, I can tell you for a fact, I'm a terrible flirt. I don't know how to do that. So obviously apps and that kind of thing have been developed, and I have tried to go on these apps and see, you know, what's out there, what's happening. I've always kind of gone out with a, what would you say, enthusiastic or hopeful attitude, thinking that there must be somebody out there for me. Apparently there's not. I don't think that the reason for that is me. I think it's because people are messy. People are very messy. Some people really shouldn't be out there at all. They really shouldn't be dating. But at the same time, I do find people fascinating. And I'm ever hopeful that eventually I will meet this person. As I've said, though, things have changed. Dating is not going to a bar and in your drunken scup, seeing someone across the room and snogging them and getting their number, you know, written on the back of a cigarette packet and then calling them and then going on a date with them. No. Dating is now involving apps where you swipe and you initiate conversations and you click that you like the pictures. Oh, and it's work. It's so much work. Luckily for me, though, I also have a great bestie. Okay, Stacey Norman is my bestie, and I've seen her in relationships. She's what I like to call a serial dater, like long-term relationships. She's done it really well. I'm very, very impressed. Sometimes I want to kind of emulate the behavior. I want to know how she gets it right. But while she's been dating these different people, she's also seen me not dating different people, and I've often wondered, like, what is it? Is it me? Am I at fault here? What am I doing wrong? What can I do better? And I had to ask her. I had to get proper, honest feedback from somebody who loves me. What I'm hoping for is that she says that, you know, it's not you, Phil. Men suck. But also, I found someone for you. Ideally. Hopefully, at the end of this conversation, she says to me, by the way, I have found you a boyfriend. Let's hold thumbs.
Stace, I have to ask, do you think I'm the problem?
No. Unfortunately, I wish I could say that. That would be too easy. Because then you would become self-aware, go and see a therapist, do some Reiki, do some of that new like Pilates things that everybody's doing where you're like, it's like active Pilates or like aerobic Pilates or whatever
machine.
It's called. Yes.
I love
yes, that one. Yeah. And then you would, I don't know, drink coconut water and come out a different person. I don't think that that's the issue here. I think there is a very clear and serious lack of balance. Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. There are too many women to too few men. And women are preyed upon for their vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And this is very difficult when one is trying to create some kind of safe space, i.e. a romantic partnership, any partnership actually, because then are you also meant to be a scammer?
Hold
are
on.
You also meant to be up to stuff? Well, like what's...
Hold on.
What must you do?
I've also seen you in relationships. What do you think of your relationship history? Well, like, what are like the highlights, I suppose, and the low lights of your relationships? We're not going to talk about Fishman. I mean, I suppose we could.
We must. Because something that I have found to be true is that everyone I have dated, because so Felicity is a serial first date dater. Mm-hmm. I am a serial monogamist. Mm-hmm. So I like to get into situations and then actively stay there.
Yes. Yeah.
Just in the muck and the mire. I like to be in it, like dip in cuck, like deep down. It's submerged in it, if you will. And something that I've come to work out about myself through the reformer Pilates, the coconut water and the endless therapy is that the people I have entertained and actively pursued and kept around me was just a direct like line to what I thought I deserved. So it speaks more to me and my self-worth than anything that they could have done or said. They were just minding their business. Mm. I mean, if someone's going to offer you something, you can say yes or no. The fact that everybody would say yes and take and take and take, but where are you getting it from? It's not falling from the sky. I was orchestrating that. So I have had a series of imbalanced interactions with men, And I'm not going to blame my mother, and I'm not going to blame my parents, and I'm not going to blame the fact that I am a child of divorce. I'm going to blame it on the fact that I knew better, but did not action in an appropriate way for myself.
But you see, the thing is that I've always found with you, and I've said this to you before, is like you are such a giver. You're a giver in all your relationships across the board. So be it friendships, be it romantic relationships, be it family relationships, you're a giver. You're getting something from that in the exchange 100%, of the giving. And in the process, you are also meeting people who are doing all the taking because she's going to give. So when I say Stacey's a giver, I'm going to tell people this. Stacey is, in a relationship, the kindest human being in the whole world. So I will pay for the dates. I will buy the clothes. I will, I suppose to a certain extent, some people are going to say, kind of taken a masculine kind of role of providing for these men.
Yes, yeah.
And then they, in exchange, also, they don't just live their lives. They then kind of infantilize themselves. Is that a word? Infantilize? Make themselves babies.
It is now. It is now.
They do, though.
They get to explore their inner child.
Thank you. With a whole adult, with an adult in an adult relationship. How annoying is that, though?
Yeah, so, you know, the first time it happened, we're not using people's names, so we're just going to call him
Fishman
Number One.
Okay.
No. We're going back.
Oh, okay.
I was young, he was young.
Yes.
Right? So he literally was like a small boy in that he was in his early 20s. EQ is not necessarily where it needs to be. We grow out of this thing. We outgrow each other. We move. The next one that comes along starts off pretty strong. There is a 14-year age gap. He is older than me. So clearly I'm now craving the inverse of what I have had in the past. And in the end, he would assume the role of taker, childlike, younger, from a kind of scholastic perspective. Only to be followed up by a whirlwind of what the f*** was the last one. And that, and let me tell you, just that one alone, there are so many questions that plague me to this day that I will never have the answers for. And that's why it plagues me, because you know, you and I love a crime and investigation situation.
Yes.
I love to know.
Yes.
How did it end?
When?
Why? How come? Manje. Like, what's happening here? And I will never fully know what happened there, but it is such a black mark on my self-love, self-acceptance. It doesn't correlate with who I am as a person. And for my friends, like a Felicity and the rest of them, seeing this and from the beginning being like, well, this is obviously not going to work. It will be shocking to everybody listening to know that it didn't, but also I didn't end it. That to this day, when I see people on the street, they're like, what you mean, though? And I was like, yeah, he by disappearing out of my life, like a ghost, poof, he was gone.
And when she says disappearing,
Halloween,
she means literally disappearing.
It was giving Halloween, and it wasn't that I was necessarily sad, but I was dumbfounded by that. And that then set me on a very serious kind of regerach type of path, because I was like, you knew this wasn't good for you. At a push, it was probably a dalliance that should have just stayed in that category. And not every interaction we have is great love. Sometimes it's a great lesson. And that is what this was, but not about him, because he's inconsequential. Again, he is merely a representation of how I feel about myself at the time. So in his ghosting and his disappearing act, this is the greatest show that you paid for and never got your money back for, never delivered the goods. But in so doing, it made me have to really kind of stop, collaborate and listen with myself, because, yeah, that was not good.
Because we are both very strong women, very strong, very independent women, very much we've got this in the bag. There is something so attractive to me about a slightly, I'm just going to say it. I suppose it's the old patriarchal way of looking at it. Like, I want a man that is so manly that he will come in and make me be a woman. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
I want to feel like I can be a woman because this man is a man. And not in the, I'm going to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen because I'm too old for children. That's the only reason why.
I know, that's right. She's ready. Knock her up. Ovaries are flutter. You have a problem.
I do.
You need to stop.
I do. But it's because I want to feel like I don't have to make all the decisions. I don't have to be in charge.
Yeah, you want your brain to rest. Yeah.
Thank you. I don't want to be in charge all the time. And as a divorced single mother of three, I immediately went into, I am the boss. So I make the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is done by me. And as much as it has now left me with control issues, which I've realized I do have, and I'm just going to be okay with it. What? Don't
really?
Don't, no, don't. Don't really me.
Really?
Don't really? Even. I've got slight control issues. Not even major. Like minor. Minor things.
Yeah. Minor.
I
minor.
Push
yeah.
the trolley.
Very low brow.
Very low brow.
Yeah,
you wouldn't even
you,
notice.
Got you.
But because. Because. Stop it. Because of that, I also find myself being quite fickle in a sense of when I am done with you, I am done. Like,
yeah.
And it sounds really terrible, but I don't know if I have the ability to work at a relationship, because that's apparently, according to you and what you've told me, is what it entails. You actually have to work at a relationship. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, to expand on your point a little bit further, that is true. Yes, I was correct when I said as much. But I think the trick is working out who is worth the work. And
right.
if we're investing stupidly, I mean, think of relationships like a stock market, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to put your money into some bullshit rando company that is going to just take it and dissolve 3 days later. You would put it into some very fancy corporation that you know is going to show you dividends. A relationship is the same thing. And I'm not suggesting that we should approach all relationships with the what can I get out of this, but that is the very basis of all human connection. We are friends because we both benefit from
yes.
this relationship.
Yeah.
There is something that you represent that feeds me and nourishes me in a very genuine and holistic way. That's why we've been friends for so long, and vice versa. If I was not getting that out of you, something is going to plutz. And I feel like in romantic partnerships, the lines can be blurry, because sometimes the thing you're getting out of that relationship is stability or a social kind of benefits.
Yeah, status.
The idea of being able to say, yeah, yes, I am married. Then there's the literal status from a money perspective or from a benefits perspective or a nice handbag perspective. And again, people are doing things for their own reasons, and that's their business. It's not our business. But I think for you in particular, in order for you to enter your lover ghoul era, your soft era, you would need to be with somebody who understands that on any given day, you are, to quote Whitney Houston, every woman. And sometimes every man. And that takes a very specific kind of healed, whole person. And I don't know that those people are on dating apps. I don't think that those people are at the club. I don't think that those people are at the bars.
Where are they?
I don't know. We don't know where they are. But like, I almost feel like what we need to invest in, and if it actually turns out to be a good business idea, no one steal it, trademark pending. But I feel like we need to have kind of like a recruitment agency.
Oh, you get
like
matchmakers.
For work, but for dating.
You get matchmakers.
No, but I mean, as in you need to actually know the person. So I don't want to talk to the matchmaker. I want to talk to the sister, the best
Got
friend, the whatever
you.
Of this man.
Got you.
So I can tell you, yes, he's lazy as shit. No, he can't hold a job. But my God, he's a fantastic father. He's the kindest person you'll ever meet. And he makes a mean, like, I don't know, pup and flace. I need to know the credentials of like the person I'm getting involved with before I commit. And in that way, I don't think you're fickle. I also think you've been in these streets, dragged for years, so you're also very tired.
You're so
and
tired.
We've not gotten to a point where we've all survived a pandy. You know what I mean? We've all come out the other side, and what's good? You know what I mean? Like, life is short. You must make the most of it. But also, I would rather be on my couch on a Saturday night with a glass of beans, talking shit to my friend or watching a crime show, than sitting across from someone who I know I have no interest
Thank
in.
Thank you. Thank
and,
you very much. Yeah.
And that does, but that does then chop and change. I suppose, well, chops the dating pool into like
non-existent
sliver
of
what it could have been before.
Literally. So that's the thing. So dating apps, I obviously went off them for a while because, you know, I do that regularly. I'm like, I'm not on these apps anymore. And then I delete everything.
I can't
everything.
Anymore.
Exactly. And then I throw my toys and I get off them and I'm like, oh, stop it. I won't. And then a friend of mine literally got onto another dating app, like quite recently. And they were like, you must go on this dating app. And I was like, oh, Lord, not another one. And then I figured, fine, let me do it. So I'm on this dating app again, literally for like the last, I don't know, couple of days, whatever. And I'm very popular, as you know.
Of course. Yes, she's a star.
I'm very popular. It's so much work. It is
hey,
so...
how are you doing?
So no, this one, unfortunately...
Good morning, beautiful.
I have to make the first introduction.
Oh,
and so because I don't
okay.
like the, hey, good morning, hey, gorgeous, na-na-na, I have to play the game by my own rules. So now I've got to go look at your profile and see what you've mentioned in there and then have an opening line that is appropriate to your kind of profile to show that I'm so much work. So much
I
work.
I am so bored. I'm so exhausted listening to
Friend?
This. Is this, yeah, this, oh, Lord. Okay, so now have you... over the past few days, encountered anybody whose bio was even worth clicking on?
I'm currently in a conversation with 11 men.
Are you just ChatGPTing these things?
No.
Because at this point, I now understand why people do. It's like, you have three kids, a breakfast show, TV shows, auditions, voiceovers. We're recording this podcast, trying to be a human being who lives in the world. How do you have time to speak to 11 people? That's psychotic.
I know. I don't know how I fit it in. Like, randomly between making, like, dinner and going to a voiceover, I'll be like... I'm like that cat meme.
Okay, well, yes, but not... And, you know, we do love that
yeah.
cat meme. But, like, question.
Yes.
Could you not do... And maybe this is it. When it comes to... And anyone who's listening who is also like, where are the men? If you're going to get involved in something like this, do we not need to have all our options open? Great. Felicity sitting on 11. That's the number to beat. But like, is there a time marker for you? Like, you'll talk to them for 3 days and then we're just lining up and we're kind of speed dating in one afternoon. Everybody gets an hour.
I love this idea, but here's my thing, right? Because of my weird patriarchal, I want the man to lead. You have to ask me on a date. I'm not asking you. So my thing is, if we are speaking for, like, let's say a week, okay? If in a week you have not said to me, I would like to take you out, I'm blocking and deleting you. I'm not even giving you a reason why I'm blocking and deleting you, because I think you should know that I don't have the time to speak to you for longer than a week. I'm already giving it
yeah.
my all, okay? Also, if you're not answering, so some of these guys, it's very odd, like, they'll tell me something and then I'll respond to what they've told me, but then they won't answer it. So the one guy said to me, how are you? And I said, oh, I'm very good. How are you? And he went, not that good. And I went, why? And then he just moved on to like something else. I was like, so you're not actually reading these messages, which annoys the meme out of me, as you know. So generally
yeah.
I say a week for chatting on an online dating platform. That's my rule for myself. And when I say a date, please don't invite me for dinner. I literally had a guy say, oh, we can go out for dinner at a nice restaurant and
no,
drink. And I was like,
no,
thank
it's,
you.
It's a drink and bust, babe.
Thank you. We
no.
can have a coffee.
Anybody got no time for starters if I don't like
no.
you?
And now I'm
going to
sit there looking
you.
At your face.
No.
And then also, you know, there's that weird thing that even still to this day, in this day and age, men equate the plate of pasta to sex. So her vagina is the cost of that arrabbiata pasta. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
That's... Mm-mm.
And you didn't even ask for the extra chicken.
Thank you. And I didn't get extra any parmesan, nothing. And now you think you're going to get laid because you bought me a bottle of wine. Honey, I can buy my own bottle of wine.
Maybe we need to approach this quite... I mean, you did say that you have noted some control issues, which I don't think is bad. I think it's just survival, right? We all have to... I mean, if you're not in control, then what would have happened to you? We wouldn't be having this conversation. Your kids would be a mess. You'd be a mess. I'd be a mess. Everyone's a mess. So thank God you got your shit together and now here we are, right? So we are approaching this with much stealth and gusto. We're optimistic, but we're not stupid. So rules are simple. We're chatting to as many people simultaneously as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We are giving you a week.
Mm-hmm.
You get 7 days. Is it 7 business days or just 7 days?
7 days.
A la Craig David.
Yeah, 7 days.
Okay, 7 days a la Craig David. You have to... Despite the fact that this is obviously a site where women are given the go-ahead first, which is important, and consent is important, and safety. So that's great. You now need to assume the role of a quote-unquote traditional man and ask me out within 7 days. No dinner, drinks, cool. How long must the first interaction be for you? Like, how long do you think you'd need to be able to sit across from somebody in a ristorante and get a read on yes or no?
I like to think that I'm a good judge of character. So I can tell if I want to get to know you better in a romantic sense, probably within the first 10 minutes. The problem is, and you know this with me, the problem is that if in this first 10 minutes I'm not thinking of you romantically, I immediately go into psychologist phase or sociology professor. And now I just want to pick your brain and like see your little experiment. I want to see what kind of dodgy human you are, because it fascinates me. And it's not because I'm judgmental. It's just so that I have stories to tell my bestie. So I will then sit there for 3 hours.
Please don't bring me into this. No, I will not be part of the saboteur story. Okay. I was not at that coffee shop. Do not involve. I'm in Iniocente. I'm in KZN
you
for my sins.
Still remember the story though. So look at the work
I put in. It's great stories.
Thank you.
So it's a Thursday and we've gone to this lovely restaurant that I've decided on, and we get there and it's 12 o'clock and this gentleman walks in and it's going to sound a bit weird, but I'm a bit... So when I go on a date, I like to dress up. I think it's very appropriate or important even to put your best foot forward on a first date. I'm not saying wear a tuxedo. I mean, if you wore a tuxedo, I'm not going to say no. Okay, I think it's kind of cute. I really do. But I'd prefer you not to arrive in your local rugby or soccer team shirt. I think that there's no effort behind that, which is exactly what this man did. But I'm also able to look past it because I'm a kind, generous human being. And humble. Anyway, Mr. Man sits down. He proceeds to tell me about his son who... there was some issue at the school. And his way of, I suppose, disciplining his son was telling him that he's going to end up like a person who doesn't have a home. But he said it in a very, very harsh way. So I said to him, I don't know if being harsh or mean to children, being a mom myself, is always the best way to discipline your children. Because I don't know if fear is a great way of disciplining. So already I thought to myself, we would have issues here. But like I said, also it's a first date. He then told me about his sister-in-law and a situation with his sister-in-law and his late mom. I knew his mom was late because he told me. And then he started crying at the restaurant, at the table, during the day, on our first date. So that was an interesting thing to navigate, which I thought I did very well at, until he mentioned to me how before his late mom had passed away, his sister-in-law had made a... And if you didn't know this, I'm a woman of color. His sister-in-law had called his mother's helper the K-word. And he looked me directly in the eye when he said this to me. See, I wasn't offended. I just thought to myself, he obviously has no concept of where he is or who he's talking to. And I know it's not funny, but I didn't know how to respond to it. I was like, that is a nuts thing to say to somebody who is of color. Because firstly, why would you ask me out on a date if you know that your family are flaming racists? So this would make it very awkward. But also because I am Felicity, I realized then and there that obviously this date wasn't going to go anywhere. But I knew that there was more. So, of course, I stayed. I sat back at this time. I took off my jersey because now I was in and I wanted to see how crazy this crazy could get. How this afternoon date wrapped up and when I said goodbye was when we went outside to imbibe a little nicotine cigarette and he proceeded to show me his party trick where he took the dentures out of his mouth, put the cigarette between his real gums and the denture gums, and smoked with the dentures out of his mouth. And I heard a voice from upon high say, "Felicity, go home."
But now, is it possible, Felicity, that in a bid to quell your insatiable curiosity for wild and weird stories, that you are potentially putting out an energy to, please forgive me, the universe, that this is actually what you're interested in? Like, you're interested in conversation that is titillating, granted.
Very.
Hilarious,
very,
yes. And will live on for generations to come.
Yeah.
But that you've created this dating space and conflated that with almost like a sociology experiment, as opposed to you've actually set it up for romance. You've set yourself up for partnership, do you think?
Funny that you mention this because, and this is why she's my bestie, you know me so flippin' well, okay? So yesterday, literally yesterday, I came to this exact same conclusion. And I was talking to producer Ethan and I said to him, I realize now that throughout all this time, I've gone in and I've kind of, Felicity's kind of been behind the weird Professor Indiana Jones sociology person who goes in first.
Yeah.
And then is like,
yeah.
Yes, and then your mother did what? Really? And then you cried. Cry for me now. Like, and but Felicity's here going like, okay, but what if you maybe just want to, okay, you, okay, but you're not going to listen to me. You're just going to do this weird sociology thing. I literally realized this yesterday. And I've realized that I need to go into a situation, like you say, with romantic intentions. Because, yes, I do think I'm putting out to the universe, send me the crazies, because I love it.
Yes. Yes.
But at the same time, I'm going, don't send me love, just send me the crazies.
It's also easier for you to not have to be yourself.
Yeah.
And with you also being who you are, and that is not me blowing smoke up your bum, it's the truth. People are aware of who you are. So is it really this, and that makes it more difficult for you. So in that way, it is in your defense. There is this preconceived idea of who Felicity is, and you can decide, as you said, you walk in, it's 10 minutes, you've had some ChatGPT-esque conversation via an app for a while, you finally made it to the coffee, it's 10 minutes in and you're like, not for me, and then you're like, now I'm going to toy with this person. But you've also just then given up 2-3 hours of your life, your very precious life, and you could be mining that time on literally anything other than this. And even though it does provide great wine time fodder for all of us, really, it's not necessarily moving you forward. And perhaps you yourself are also hiding behind that Felicity Reakin-esque, this is probably what they think of me, so now I want to get to know you. And you're very good at getting people to drop their guard. You've made an entire career out of it. And people will tell you things that they probably wouldn't tell anyone.
I know, right?
Because of how you are and then coupled with who you are. But in that way, what about that is not giving you the ick? You're not even giving brother man a chance to put his best foot forward. And then that allows you to not have to put your best foot forward. Mm. So we don't have to actually take this any further. And it's just another statistic. And that was funny, yes, but ha ha ha. You're not moving forward with any of these conversations.
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
You didn't have
your
to put yourself out
away.
There.
Bye.
I know, I'm sorry.
Okay, that was fun. Thanks, Stacey.
Yeah, that was fun. Wrap it up. Butler said this to me a couple of years ago, and it's always stuck with me, not because it's groundbreaking or original content, but because it's something I need you to hear. Like, are you maybe blocking your own blessings through your everyday behavior?
Absolutely.
And I was like, yes.
Yes.
But then why? Why? And is it because, and I think, again, if there's someone single, especially a woman listening to this, you can attest to this. If you were to hypothetically be yourself, be vulnerable, oh my God, they're doing the same thing. Oh my God, we have a connection. Oh my God. Now the stakes are higher. Now you can get hurt. And even though we are grown people who've raised children and can hold down jobs and pay SARS endless amounts of money every year, and we're independent girlies, we're still at the root of who we are. We want to tap into that feminine energy. You want to be in your lover goal, soft goal era. You want that. So if you are going to access that part of yourself, your whole life could implode. It's the idea of like, I don't know if you like, and it's like when you were in high school or like in your early 20s, you know, when you're like obsessed with someone and you're like, I would rather die than not be with this person. Knowing full well that at any moment, this grown man could just dead ass ghost you. Dead ass. Now what becomes of you now? Then you are left to pick up the pieces, and that is maybe something you're trying to not explore. So effectively, you're trying to date without actually dating. You don't date people who you could actually date.
No, because...
For real.
No, obviously not, because I'm scared. And
yeah.
I'm very scared. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm a big old scaredy cat. And my heart, I have managed to build wonderful walls. They're beautiful. They're decorated. They're very quirky.
They've got those cute little vine things running up the side.
Stunning,
I mean, work
babe.
Has been put in landscaped walls, guys. Landscaped.
Also, thick as f***. Okay, these walls are impenetrable. Yeah. Because I
That's
am
right.
terrified. And especially about the vulnerability thing. Like, I'll be vulnerable with very few people in my life, you being one of them, my children as well, because I know that whatever you say or do, your intention behind it is good. So even hearing you now say these things, and I'm like, I know that they're coming from a really good place, and it's coming from, I love you and I want you to be happy and I want this for you. But still, I'm like, now imagine some randy, handsome man that I have now fallen in love with hurting me. And then what will happen? And then
it's going to suck.
It will suck balls. And then I'll be alone again. And this way I can just stay alone. I mean, I don't want to.
And in control.
And in control. Alone and in control. Why are you bringing the control thing up? It's so weird, Stacey. It's very odd of you.
So, you know what's wild about this conversation is, I mean, it's not like we've never had iterations of this conversation before. We've had this conversation just a trillion times, yeah. In different instances and from different perspectives. But I just see so much of myself in you, and I know that that the same can be said. Mm. The inverse of that is true, mm. too. Like, I know you because I am you in a lot of ways. I want to always be the best. It's that, like, favorite child syndrome. It's first daughter syndrome. I want to excel at everything, and everything must be perfect. And if it means that I must throw my ass, my money, my home, my friends, my routine, my whatever, into this prepackaged mold that is convenient for someone else, and in that way, I suppose, completely sacrifice who I am in the process, I will do that. Again, my intentions are pure, but I know that I'm up to shit. And it is at this juncture that I would like to interject and say that I'm currently dating someone who has upended a lot of that kind of regular programming. Because when I met him, I was so down bad. I was in the gutter. And not emotionally, like, I will never recover. I think I was just so geskok that someone would have the audacity to treat me so poorly and that I would have allowed and cultivated an environment for that to happen, right? That I did not have the airs and graces. So first date, I did not shave my legs. I was covered up from my neck down to my toes. I was exceptionally nervous right before I was going to actually see him for the first time. We'd spoken for about a week because I thought to myself, I can't even go back and hide behind anything because I'd been so bleh and messy from the beginning that I was like, if I now suddenly look like I have my shit together, he's going to be like, who does? By no means was that a conscious approach. It wasn't like, I've had a breakthrough and I must just be myself. Like, that's insane, okay? Don't believe that. That's rubbish. That's only for, like, Disney movies and cuck. Like, I was so down bad, so downtrodden, and my ego was shattered that there was no room for me to pretend to be anything other than I'm not. And you're getting what you're getting. You get what you get and you don't get upset. And I firmly believe that if I hadn't met him in that exact headspace, with my unshaven legs and my zero will to, like, exist, we would not have the kind of relationship we have now. Because I was obviously highly emotional, super low self-esteem. I'd been through something. It's okay. I obviously immediately screamed at him for about 3 hours about how this would never work. But it was never going to work because, I mean, he is so, like, you know, he's him and I'm me and, like, and I'm damaged and I'm problematic. As he sat across from me with his arms crossed and smirked the entire way through, it enraged me. I realized I'd completely, like, flown off the handle and I'd completely, like, exposed myself for the psycho fraud that I am. And I also realized that I like this person and something about that interaction felt important. And it has gone on to be important. I've also never been more gentle. My posture's changed. The way I speak is different. The way I prioritize things is different because I decided to actually allow myself to have an interaction with somebody who was deserving of it, as opposed to entertaining people who blatantly were not. So please, God, let this be it, because in the words of Charlotte York from Sex and the City, I've been dating since I was 15. I'm exhausted. Where is he? I'm not necessarily the marrying kind, but I want this one. This is a good fish. And you will find your good fish if you stop pretending and start actually let them see how crazy you are. Because, I mean, nothing about that interaction in hindsight. I must have looked a damn fool. At this point, I'd taken off my Doc Martens. And I'm running around in, like, a polo neck with a red leather dress, pinafore thing over it, stockings, shoes off, hair amok, arms flailing, 3 wines down. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is never going to work. And the way that I was speaking about myself was so atrocious because it made me really scared. I was like, I feel safe with this man, and I don't like that. Like, because that's not, no. Like, and not even because, ooh, it must be dangerous, but it's more like, no, it's, I don't know that I'm ready for a real interaction with somebody. I don't know that I'm actually ready to really love someone, because also if he's going to do that for me, then I'm going to have to do that for him.
Yeah.
So now I have to be there.
Yeah, you see.
Now I'm a show up.
Mm, mm, Oh, you're saying terrible things. I think I'm just going to be single. Yeah. That sounds like a plan.
Cool. So this is a complete waste of everyone's time. Felicity remains on the market indefinitely. Just her and her control issues. But I do believe that there is obviously somebody out there who is for you. And I think the way that we access this person is by releasing some of those old thought patterns and old behaviors. And as I said, my recommendation is if you have a propensity to be a highly controlled individual, Felicity. Felicity. Lose control. Forgo the control and see what happens. Stop trying to control the end point where you don't get hurt and then work backwards because then your origin story is that you're choosing people who you know. So you're like, but I called it. Like maybe if someone makes you feel a little bit like, ooh, and not like just like, you know, in your goodies area, not like that, like as in your gut, your gut's like, whoa, so this is, it's important. Lean into that and show them who you are, all of you, from the get-go. But in the same way that you and I have conversations, the vulnerability is something that comes quite easily. But when you are a naturally controlling person, obviously it's, I'm fine, type A, all's good, I know, it's this, it's that, boom, boom, underline, bold, italic, send, thank you so much. That's not this. If this relationship ends, then this podcast will be, have a little caveat at the bottom there on some like in memoriam, because I don't know that I'm going to have to walk into the ocean or something.
You would never walk into the ocean. We both know that.
No, you know, that's where the sharks live and I don't like it. But I mean, I might stand on the shoreline for dramatic effect, but it would ruin me temporarily. I wouldn't die, but it would ruin me temporarily because this is probably the purest I've felt, not because of him, I'm saying about myself, maybe since I was a teenager. And in that way, I am softer and can also be softer. Not just with him, but with everybody around me. He's really brought out the best in me and reminded me that I'm all these other things too. I am that controlling bitch, but I'm also, it could be the Beyonce, but I can also be genteel and beautiful and feminine. And that's so nice.
It's the feminine for me. It's so highly important. You know, before we wrap this up, I've got to ask you, red flags, green flags for you, for people out there, men and women who are like, who are on the same journey as I am and maybe are just going like, oh, I should have seen that. What is a red flag for you? What is a green flag for you? You can have more than one red flag because crikey.
I mean, we're going to just summarize this in one go. Okay. You already know absolutely everything. You know when you sit across from someone, I do think you need to be in front of someone.
Yes.
But you know. And you know if you are wasting your time. You know if this is important. You know it. And you either choose to lean into the unimportant because maybe you yourself are having a bad day. Maybe you yourself are feeling a little bit low. You're again getting something out of it. Is it healthy? Obviously not. Is it something that could never be substantiated and turn into something more? No, we don't know that. But the thing is, your soul is not set on fire. It's like, imagine being at a club. I know what in the 2018 is going on, but imagine being in a club, specifically the girls in the girlies bathroom, because I've never been in the boys' bathroom, so I don't know what happens there. But you will leave a bathroom stall and some woman you have never seen in your life is going to be on some, oh my God,
love it.
You are the most magnificent.
You are Gina.
That kind, that's it. And you are so taken aback and you are like, OMG, am I that girl? Like this person, this man or woman, whoever's in front of you, needs to make you feel like that and not gas you up out of nonsensical nonsense. But almost make you feel a little bit uncomfortable with how they blatantly and obviously see you.
I love the obviousness of that. Also, I find that particularly for us women, the lack of trust in your gut, the ability to override your literal gut, we really need to stop it. We need to put a pin in that. And also, you don't need to justify why you are trusting your gut. You don't need to explain to somebody and feel guilty about it, because I think that's the other thing a lot of women do. They're like, I feel bad that I know that this person is trash, So therefore, I'm extracting myself, but now I feel like I need to tell them why. You don't need to.
And the same can be true for if you encounter somebody who is not trash. Like, you feel it, and you're like, okay. And if everything in your body is going, run, 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 but your gut's going, no, don't run, then that's a conversation you need to have with yourself. Because we are also running around as disco balls, you know, like always like this like collection of broken pieces. We ourselves are not fully whole when we walk into that exchange either. And you can speak for yourself to a point, yes, but are you speaking of yourself in a knowing way and in a genuine and authentic and therefore vulnerable way? Or are you just doing what you think will get you to coffee number two because you don't want to be on your own? And we make choices along the way. So choose wisely and you will not suffer, girl.
I'm going to snap that.
Yes. Yes.
I am snapping that. Okay. You know. I love that, actually. I quite love the fact that you've moved past red flags, green flags. And it literally is, you know.
It's like, and that's why. When I met you, I was like, this girl going to be my friend. You were on some, I'm going through things because this is a new environment. And that was not about me. That was about you.
No.
And then yes. I wore you down. I just kept on some, hey.
You did.
And now look at us go. Because I knew.
We had that one coffee and look at us now.
The rest is history.
With my Oracle wig and...
And here we are. And now you need to find basically me, but a boy version. And then you're good.
That's Stacey, that would be my dream. Like my ultimate dream. Maybe we could just clone you, though.
Listen, it worked for Dolly the Sheep. It might be Stacey the presenter next. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for coming to our TED Talk.
Well, she didn't find me a boyfriend. Bestie, I don't think. No, I'm kidding. It's nice to know I'm not the problem, but... Oh. When she called me out about the fact that I go into sociologist mode and maybe I'm not acting from an authentic place, I have to take that on board. Because she's saying it for my own best will. Because she wants to see me succeed. Because she's my bestie and she loves me. Also, finding out who's worth the work. You know, the problem is the longer you're single, the more finding out sounds a lot like work. And I have to possibly consider, am I willing to put in the work? I am. I am willing to put in the work for a little while. Anyway, that was my chat with Stacey. Let's see who we talk to next about love, dating, chaos. Available on Jacaranda FM. Under Jackpod or wherever you get your podcasts.